If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. The phone number to call and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And we thank you for joining us tonight. Tonight we have some great guests lined up. We have Senator Mark Green from the 22nd District in Tennessee. He's my senator. We're going to have Judd Matheny towards the end of the show, representative from Tennessee. And in a little while after Mark, we're going to have either Gary Lima or Colonel Harry Riley to talk about the American Spring Project. So Senator Green called me a little earlier, and he is really on a tight schedule, so I'm going to go ahead and, without giving you any more upfront information, go ahead and talk to Senator Green. Senator Green, how are you tonight?
Dave, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fine. Hey, I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, and sorry it's taken me so long. Just crazy schedule.
I understand. Glad to have you. And, you know, we've got time. We'll get you back on again when you have a little more time. I want to get right into it. You know, there's a lot of things on the agenda, and obviously I know you want an opportunity to talk about some of your legislation, but there's some really hot things in Tennessee right now, and I kind of want to get your take on them.
Sure.
The president's coming Thursday, and, of course, he's going to come and talk about jobs. Hopefully somebody will talk to him about all the jobs that Obamacare has destroyed or will destroy. And as you know, Senator Beavers has Senate Bill 1888, which would essentially gut Obamacare in Tennessee. And that is an amended bill from what she first filed, if I understand correctly. And just wanted to get your take on that legislation, if that's something you'll be supporting.
I've got the legal guy sitting down with me this week to look at 1888. You know, the challenge with these kinds of bills is the unintended consequences. So before I weigh in, I mean, I'm for the concept of, you know, doing everything we can to get out of the Affordable Care Act. You know, I've said that all along. It was just the last bill that was sent up. You know, this, as you said, is an amended version. The first version would have wound up hurting our Tennessee State employees because it kept contractors from being able to work with, for example, provide health insurance for those guys. So we would have been in a big pickle trying to get health insurance for our employees, among other things. So I have not, unfortunately, because of the schedule, have a chance to look at her amended version. I glanced at it when she handed it to me in the hallway, but I've got some guys, and we're going to sit down this week and kind of go over the amended version. I know she removed the word contractor, so that's a plus. And if there's nothing else in there that's a problem, then I'll be a supporter.
Okay. What kind of problems would you anticipate that might be? Is there anything in particular that you see as a potential, as a reason that you might not be able to support this bill?
I haven't spent a lot of time looking at it, Dave, and I apologize. I've got my three committees to get ready for and all that, so I've been reading the bills that are coming before me. I have not seen her amended version in detail. I mean, I've seen it, but I haven't read it in detail. But I'll give you an example of something that could be a problem. And, again, I've got to sit down and make sure this isn't in there. But, you know, I did a bill that people got upset with a little bit at first, and now everybody loves it, last year, that allowed Tennessee to regulate the navigators, these guys that have already been found in other states to be committing fraud. I mean, in fact, in Texas, the navigators are being used to recruit for the Democratic Party. So the states obviously have got, you can actually look it up on YouTube. There are video clips of these guys signing people up for the Affordable Care Act and telling them to vote blue. And it's called Project Blue or something like that. But they have got hidden video cameras of these guys, videos, actively recruiting for the Democratic Party. So I passed the legislation last year that allows the navigators to be regulated by the state of Tennessee. Because we've got people in the state of Tennessee that are going to sign up on the exchange. We just want to make sure that Tennesseans aren't taken advantage of. If May's bill basically says the state can't be involved in regulating anything related to the Affordable Care Act, then boom, the Commerce and Insurance Department can't regulate navigators.
I can tell you part of it because it's only a one-page bill, and I know you're not going to make your decision on the radio. I got you, but in reference to that, no state entity shall establish or administer or assist in establishing or administering any specific regulatory scheme to operate the Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2010 or any subsequent federal amendment to such act in this state. So I don't know if that's going to fall under the category of what you were looking at or not, but you'll get a chance later this week, and we'll definitely check back with you on that one.
No, I hope you do. You know me, I am a states' rights guy. You can go back and look at my arguments on Senate Bill 250 from last year. I am pro nullification of unconstitutional bills, and I am a pro states' rights guy. But what I don't want to do is hurt people in the process, and these navigators have got to continue to be regulated by the state of Tennessee or someone. I mean, in New Jersey, I mean, they've actually caught them stealing people's confidential information and, you know, basically identity theft. So we can't be so broad that we disarm ourselves from regulating these guys and their conduct inside the state of Tennessee.
Right. I mean, if they are going to be there, and I could be confused about this, but as I understand it, we decided not to set up a state exchange. When we decided not to do that, the federal government is still going to set up an exchange in the state, even though they don't have any money appropriated for it, correct?
That's correct. We don't have a choice. The federal government, the Supreme Court said that was constitutional, so the federal government's going to run an exchange for the state of Tennessee, as it does for all of the states, and I think there's 31 states that opted not to do an exchange, so the federal exchange has to basically cover all of those 31 states, Texas being one of them, but that doesn't keep the navigators from coming in, paid for and funded. I mean, there are organizations that are, basically Acorn rebranded, that are out there functioning as fronts for the Democratic Party to sign people up on the Affordable Care Act. So we just have to make sure that the wording is very clear and that we can stand where we need to stand.
Yeah, we got to have some sort of protection against the federal criminals that they're going to send here. So, I mean, they're coming whether we want them or not. So I got you on that. Okay.
Yes, sir. All right. You got it.
You supported Senate Bill 250 last year. Senate Bill 1607, also sponsored by – are you on board with that, or have you had a chance to look at all of it yet?
Again, that's another one I haven't looked at. I'm not sure. That's not on committee's calendar this week, so it'll be probably the weekend before I get to that bill. I am absolutely for telling federal authorities that they can't enforce a non-constitutional or unconstitutional law inside the state borders of Tennessee. I'm completely okay with that. That's essentially, as I recall, what Senate Bill 250 said. And I supported my argument with actually a Supreme Court ruling that I found in my research that showed that a treaty between us and England was not, which, essentially a treaty is, according to the Supremacy Clause, part of the law of the land. So if that is a part of the law of land, the Supreme Court found that that did not trump the Bill of Rights. You know, for this,
yep.
in this
yep.
particular
yep.
case, it was Fourth and Sixth Amendments, but obviously that's going to apply to the Second Amendment, and so consequently, you know, it won't stand. So we basically have authority to stand against an unconstitutional act from the federal government.
Right. And, you know, that it's one thing about authority is you have to use it. So in the, along the lines, while we're thinking and talking about the 10th Amendment, two quick ones on this one for you. The refugee resettlement issue, you know, there were two different committee meetings, and I think you were at both of them. And essentially, the refugee resettlement in Tennessee is a federal program. The state doesn't actually run it anymore. An NGO, Catholic Charities, runs it. But we can't even find out what it is costing us. Okay, now that's partly because the federal government was uncooperative. But the bottom line is we don't know what it's costing us. So when we hear about our budget, we really don't know what we're spending because these costs affect us even though it's a federal program. And it's a voluntary federal program.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, the frustration I have is you know, and I haven't really shared this a lot, so you guys are getting a little bit of a scoop here on what I'm thinking, but I'm either going to write a book or a blog on this. But essentially what's going on is what I'm calling the end around of federalism. And what happens is, and unfortunately Justice Roberts supports this, okay, Congress has the right to tax, meaning they could tax
right.
us at a 99% of our income if they wanted. And then they set the laws that say, well, if you don't comply with, you want some road dollars, you got to comply with our rules. You want some dollars
right.
for DCS, for placement, you know, children, for to run your DCS program, you have to comply with these rules. I mean, it's absolutely undoing federalism because, oh, you want some health care dollars? Well, do it this way. You want some education
right.
dollars?
Your own
do
it money,
this way.
Basically
yeah,
your
I mean, they're essentially yeah. end-arounding federalism. And it's funny. I'm currently writing a bill. I've only filed it as a caption so far, but I'm writing a bill that allows, you know, right now we let, you know, DCS makes the displacement decisions for children. And then there's a hearing afterwards, but the judges currently in Tennessee are not allowed to override DCS. So I thought, well, you know, why would we spend the money for a court hearing if that court hearing judge can't override DCS? So I go digging into the federal regulations. Well, guess what? The federal regulations are so strict, they tell you exactly how you can get this money back. And, oh, by the way, part of it includes the DCS having authority in the decision. So, it's just an undoing of the federalism, and what I think what we've been able to do is craft some language around it so that the judges at least have some degree of authority. I mean, if they don't, then why the heck spend the money on the court hearing?
I've got to read something real quick, but before I do that, DCS is important, but I want to get back just a little bit to the refugee issue. So right after this very quick read, I want to go back to that. It should come as no surprise that our Constitution, the basis of our nation, and the central core of our values is under attack. It sometimes seems that everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end run around the articles and amendments of the greatest governing document of all time. We were just talking about that. And if you are tired of leftists and unfriendly political forces telling America that our Constitution is a mere footnote, be advised that a lot of real Americans like you and me are going to come together at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee, just an hour southwest of Nashville, on the weekend of April 26th. Great speakers like Scott Nellie Hughes, Karen Vaughn, and Joe Carr will be on hand to name just a few. Great music, great food, and great times will be had by all. Go to defendtheconstitutionrally.com and learn more about this great event, and I do hope to see you there. You're listening to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. We're talking with Senator Mark Green from Clarksville. And Senator Green, before the break, we were originally talking a little bit about refugee resettlement. We got into DCS, but I do want to go back just a little bit. You mentioned the issue of refugee resettlement and, you know, writing a blog or writing a book. Hey, can we write a bill? I understand we don't have all the information from the federal government, But, you know, this is right. This is a 10th Amendment issue. This is a prime 10th Amendment issue. And besides that, it's a voluntary program. So I would really like to see something on that. And on the issue of 10th Amendment, what are your 10th Amendment bills this session? I've looked at some of your bills. I haven't looked at all of them, and I don't know if you've filed everything that you're going to file. But what are you doing this session in regards to 10th Amendment issues?
I don't have a bill right now that basically thumbs our nose to the federal government. I do have a bill that fixes at least – I'll give you an example. I've written a bill that says any electronic media, meaning your cell phone, your phone calls, your text messages, your emails, cannot be taken by any Tennessee law enforcement without a warrant. So my bill did not go as far as to say that the NSA couldn't, but I did say not a single Tennessee law enforcement will be allowed to come and get your email without a search warrant. And that's, you know, that's, I think, a good bill. Perhaps we get that passed and then we go look at the other. But right now, you know, in terms of protecting Tennesseans, that's a really good one. You know, I've got the correction on the parking lots bill, the guns in parking lots bill. I'm supporting the redefinition of a POV so that somebody who's renting a vehicle doesn't get charged by their employer as bringing a gun in that's not in compliance with last year's law. And another one is the incidental exposure. You know, I have a carry permit, so, you know, when I get out of my car and I'm going to go in somewhere and I have to leave it in my car, sometimes that means it's exposed when I pull it out of my pocket.
Right,
you know, and
right.
that happens to all of us. So, you know, we got to protect those of us who have carry permits and make sure that incidental exposure is not a violation of the law.
I've got to fix that. Lieutenant Governor Ramsey is saying that last year's bill, according to some Supreme Court decisions, doesn't require any fixing in terms of the issue of, okay, it's no longer, you know, the bills, the things that you're doing, the bills that you mentioned will make it legal to do those things or keep it from being, you know, it's not a crime to have your weapon seen when you're transporting. It's not a crime to have your weapon in a rental vehicle. But does your bill, or do you have one, or are you going to deal with the issue of can a employer fire you for having that weapon on his property? I mean, there's the legal protections. Okay, the state's not going to prosecute, but are they going to be allowed to fire you if you have a weapon on their property and they don't want it?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think they can. And that's, I think, what the lieutenant governor is saying. Just because the attorney general seems to think that it is doesn't mean it is. I mean, it's the law of Tennessee right now until a judge makes the decision. All you've got right now is the attorney general's opinion and the legislative body's opinion. And if you look at the intentions, and this is oftentimes what judges are compelled to do, they'll go look at the testimony that we gave in committee, and they'll see the intent of the bill, and they'll know very clearly that the legislative intent is that a person can't be fired if they drive in to meet the, you know, requirements of the bill, and then take it out of their pocket, put it in their car, and leave their car, and walk from their car into the office. So I think I agree with the lieutenant governor. I think the attorney general's wrong in his opinion.
Well, I'm all for ignoring our attorney general because I really don't think he's very constitutionally minded. And I'll quote my senator on that anyway. Last big
hug. Well, I'll let you bring up the issue, but at some point I want to get on with you and talk about my joint resolution to change the way we pick our attorney general. At some point, maybe not tonight. I know you got other issues.
Well, you've actually—I know that you had a schedule conflict, and that's why we're kind of rushed. So, if you want to talk about that, we can. But I want one last hot button issue that I want to hit you with, and get your take on it. And that is Common Core. Where are you on Common Core?
My frustrations with Common Core have to do with this data mining. You know, I think you know, I understand the need to balance, or I understand the need to have comparative analytics. You know, we need to be able to see if this school is doing well versus this school. We need to see if this school is meeting the needs of all types of students. But what we don't need is to compare whether or not kids that have guns in the home are doing any better or less better than kids without guns in the home. Now, that's just a piece.
Right.
That's an invasion of privacy. I think you're going to see some bills. In fact, I'm almost certain of this, and I'm not on education, so those guys are carrying the water on writing the bills, but the bills are written that say you can only take certain data, for example. Or, you know, so anything that narrows the scope to a reasonable degree of the data collected for comparative analytics is, I think, a good thing. And so I haven't read the bill, but if it hits the Senate floor and it's, you know, it doesn't have any unintended consequences, then I'll be supporting that, because we got to limit the data. Otherwise, you know, the federal government will come in here and data mine. And, you know, with the recent IRS and the NSA stuff, I mean, you know, they're listening to my cell phone right now as I talk to you. So, I mean, you know, that's just, that's unacceptable, and we need to limit that.
Well, how much, let me ask you this, in terms of it being internationally benchmarked and supposedly a product of the states, you know, that's the claim, but what proof have we seen that Common Core is better than what we had? I mean, I don't know if you heard the news today or not, and, you know, I don't know that New York is per se, you know, the standard, and I'm certainly, generally speaking, not a fan of teachers' unions, but I think the New York Teachers Union today basically backed out of Common Core, and there's other states across this country that are very concerned with Common Core. Now, their reasons may not be the same as somebody with a conservative perspective's reasons for backing out of it. I understand that. But I just don't have a lot of faith. I mean, we've had, what, Goals 2000, Race to the Top, we've had, you name it, No Child Left Behind. It's still, even though they call this as a state program, it's still a program that states were bribed into. I mean, the governors, Governor Bredesen signed on to it sight unseen. The legislator really didn't look at it. So, I mean, why are we taking their word that it's even better?
I think as I've looked at the standards, now you got, you know, whenever we use the word Common Core, people package a lot of things around Common Core. You've got the data collection, you've got the test, the PARC test, you've got, you know, the curriculums that support people doing well on the PARC test. You've got textbook selection that's designed to support the PARC test. But the standards themselves, which, I mean, if you ever look at them, they're pretty innocuous. They're like, a child must be able to do X by this grade. Look at ours, our old standards compared to Common Core, not taking into consideration how we're testing or data or any of that other stuff. The standards themselves are better in math and slightly worse than what we had in reading. That's what dear friends of mine who are educators tell me, that the math standards are a significant improvement over what Tennessee had. The reading,
yeah, but the
standards,
reading standards
are slightly less is what I'm hearing. You know, so I wish maybe we should have kept, and again, I'm not an educator and I'm not an academic, I'm not on the education committee, but maybe we keep the old reading ones and take the Common Core math. I don't know. But the standards themselves aren't the problem for me. The problem for me is the federal government sticking their nose down here and asking questions of students that are an invasion of privacy.
So you would have to see a lot more information to where you would have real objections beyond the data collection portion.
No, I have a problem with PARC testing. I mean, there's the curriculum. I mean, we got to have transparency. I signed on to a bill that Dolores Gresham has that makes the local, you know, a parent should be able to see the test. You know, right now the school systems are saying, well, we don't have, you know, we can't show it because it's Common Core. Well, that's not acceptable. So There's way more pieces to this thing than just the standards, but especially math, I'm good with. The other strings of this thing, we've got to cut a lot of strings.
Right. Okay.
That's
fair enough.
It's more than data. I want you to hear me on that.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll be hearing more, even though you're not in that committee. I've got a caller on the line.
Sure.
Do you have time for us to take a call?
I've got about 30 seconds, and then I got to rush in to another meeting. My company's having a meeting tonight, so it's the beauty of doing two jobs.
Okay. All right. Well, 30 seconds. I'll just take the question after. But, hey, thank you for being with us. We'll have you back. If you've got the time, we'll have you back for a full hour sometime.
Absolutely. And have your caller, just connect with my office if they have a question for me that they need answered sooner.
Okay. Sure will. Hey, thanks again, and appreciate you coming on. Take care.
Yeah, Dave. Have a great night. See you.
You too. All right. We're going to take a caller here. I believe this is Jerry.
Hey, Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing tonight, Jerry?
Good. I don't have a question for the senator. I just got a statement to make for him. And if you're still listening, Senator, if you research Common Core, you can follow it right back to Agenda 21, of UN Agenda 21. Also, that Bill Ayers has written part of it. That in itself is enough to have us to have nothing to do with it, aside of the fact that the Department of Education is unconstitutional. Just want to make that statement, that's all. You look it up for yourself, Senator.
Good points. And I'll be sending him some stuff on it, some stuff that I've got. And we're going to take a call here from Kurt. Kurt, you have a question or a comment?
No, just a comment. What Jerry said, okay?
Okay, all righty. Well, I'll definitely get into some stuff, but I don't think he's
seen
enough of it.
I'll just keep listening as long as I can, okay?
Okay. All right. Appreciate it. Hey, we've got a couple minutes here before I got to take a hard break. But I want to play a commercial for you, and then we'll talk about it a little bit after the break. This is a commercial made by the people from Tennesseans Against Common Core. It's actually Karen Bracken. So here's the commercial, and she's trying to raise money to get these run on bigger stations, like 99.7 and I think 101.3. Let me find the sheet here. What did I do with that? Here we go. I'm going to go ahead and play the commercial for you. It's just a minute, but listen to it.
Did you know in 2010, our legislators voted to apply for Race to the Top, which included an assault on traditional public schools and teachers, new common standards and assessments, and increased data collection on our children without ever looking at the application and without ever reviewing those standards? Many Tennesseans are not aware of the truth behind Race to the Top. The new standards were never tested and they were never internationally benchmarked as promised. Furthermore, there was no evaluation of the new standards to ensure they were developmentally age-appropriate. We need to call our state legislators and demand they repeal Common Core standards. They need to undo the damage they did by casting an uninformed vote. Rest assured, Tennessee parents, grandparents, and teachers will not be casting an uninformed vote this November. To help in the fight against Common Core, join Tennessee Against Common Core. Register at tnacc.net. That's tnacc.net.
Okay, now that commercial will be on 99.7 and 101.3 here in the not-too-distant future, depending on how much money she's able to raise. And here's the deal. If you're interested in donating, it's basically for 30 spots. It's $18 a spot, and for a five-day show, you're looking at $540. And then you're looking for the Del Giorno show. The first one was 101.3. For the Del Giorno show, 99.7, two commercials, 5 days on Del Giorno, $130 per spot. And so that's $3,900. So it's going to take some money, all right? And she's going to be countering another organization. I'll talk about them in just a second. But if you're interested in contributing and getting the word out, consider a donation. Send it as soon as possible and make the checks payable to William Bracken at 231 Bob White Drive, Ocoee, Tennessee, 37361. Or you can get on the website. I think you can donate on the website, Tennesseans Against Common Core. Now, the people that are going to be running these pro-Common Core commercials, the Chamber of Commerce, okay? The same people who want to give us who want to give illegals amnesty, they are supporting Common Core. And of course, they always support the most liberal Republicans out there. So anyway, we're up against a hard break. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. In about another 15 or 20 minutes, we'll have either Gary Alima or Colonel Riley, who is the actual founder of the American Spring Project, and they're going to talk to us about the national project and some things we have lined up for here in Tennessee, some things that are in the works. I mentioned earlier that, and this is something I was going to ask Senator Green about, but I didn't get a chance. President Obama is coming to Nashville this week sometime, and I know there's some great Americans out there that are going to be there to greet him with some signage, okay? And I don't know what those signs are going to say, but I've just got a few thoughts here, and if you have a good idea for some signs, you know, feel free to send them in. I'm thinking, I spell treason. B-E-N-G-H-A-Z-I. I hope that's the proper spelling of Benghazi. Obama's policies are killing Christians. Obamacare, the biggest job killer. He's here to talk about jobs. So I'm thinking, you know, we've got the job killer in chief coming to Tennessee, and we should have some signs ready for him. We should be out there to greet him. So if you can be there, and I don't know exactly the best place to set up, because I don't know how to have all the details on that, but I know that there will be some people out there to meet him with some signs. But, it's ironic that the guy who has done the most to destroy this economy is going to come to Tennessee and talk about jobs. I mean, it's pathetic. You know, 10th Amendment is very important, and I was talking to Senator Green about it, and we're going to talk a little bit about it later on when we get Representative Matheny on. But, you know, here is the bottom line. We know we can't trust D.C. D.C. is a lost cause. D.C. doesn't care. They flat out do not care. And, you know, when you go to the state legislature and when you talk to your state reps or state senators, they will, of course, all rightfully complain about D.C., and obviously they're nervous. They can't fix everything. I got that. I understand that. But, you know, our state reps, our state senators, they take an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution and the state constitutions. And as Senator Green pointed out, there is a limit to federal power. And as Chief Justice Roberts pointed out in his Obamacare decision, which I totally disagree with this decision, but one good thing that he did say in that decision was that there are limits and that there is a 10th Amendment, and states do have legitimate powers, but they have to use those powers. They have to stand up to the federal government. You know, if you're waiting for the Supreme Court to save us, if you're still drinking the Kool-Aid that well, if the Republicans take back the Senate, everything will be fine. I'm sorry, you're in for some serious disappointment. The only way to save this country, to keep it from being a tyrannical government, is for the states to stand up. The states have to stand up. And if you have a weak governor like we have, a moderate, actually he's not moderate, I would say he is fairly far left in a lot of ways, okay? He's definitely a progressive. If you have somebody like that, then that may mean that if you're a state rep, not only, or state rep or state senator, and you want to do the right thing, you want to honor your oath, you're going to have to stand up to the governor first because he's your first obstacle. I'm convinced that our governor is one of the biggest obstacles to good legislation in our state, especially anything 10th Amendment oriented. I believe he is the biggest obstacle. So you're going to have to stand up to him first. But the bottom line is this. What's going to happen in this country with the rate we're going and the path that we're on is we will either be a totalitarian society here in a very few years. That's what will be, that's what our children and our grandchildren will grow up in. Or there will be pushback. Now, if it happens the way it should happen, it will be the states. State legislators and state senators look no further than the mirror for who has to stand up and fix this. Don't look to the Supreme Court. Don't look to the U.S. reps. Don't look to anybody but the person right in front of them, right in the mirror that you're looking at, staring back at you. That's the one that's going to have to fix it. Now, that takes some courage. That takes moral courage. But that's what it's going to take, because the other option is if you don't use the 10th, we accept a totalitarian society for our children and grandchildren, or other people are going to use the 2nd. It will be 10 or it will be 2. You need to think about that every time you look in the mirror, because that's the bottom line, that a majority of Americans are going to accept totalitarian form of government, and that's the road that we're headed down. And you know, use the power you have. So I'm going to go to Kurt real quick. Kurt, any comments there? I know we lost you there for a minute.
Yeah, everything dropped off on my end. I don't know what happened. No, I'm not up to speed on what you got going right now. So I'm just going to listen while I can, Dave.
Okay, that's fine.
All right,
alrighty.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll have Gary Lima with us here in a few minutes. And as I mentioned before, Common Core is one of the issues in Tennessee. Tennesseans Against Common Core .net is the website you need to go to. There's also in the Tennessee, and I don't know if you saw it or not, but they're taking a poll right now on Common Core. Should the state of Tennessee just kind of put a moratorium on it, just kind of hold up and wait and see? So that's a poll that you can take part in. May Beaver's bill to stop Obamacare. I'm going to read that to you. It's only one page long, all right? So I don't see what problems there could be. Of course, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm certainly not a legislator, but I'm going to read it. It's just a one-page bill. I like that. You know, there's fewer things sometimes that can go wrong with a one-page bill sometimes. All right. Section 1. This act shall be known and may be cited as the Tennessee Healthcare Freedom and ACA Noncompliance Act. I like that, noncompliance. Section 2. Purposes of this section, state entity means any state department, division, agency, bureau, board, commission, or other separate unit of state government. No state entity shall establish or administer or assist in establishing or administering any specific regulatory scheme to operate the Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2010 or any subsequent federal amendment to such act in this state. Section C. Nothing in this section shall be construed in any way to prohibit any person from purchasing insurance from a federal health care exchange or to invalidate any existing or future health insurance policies purchased from a federal health care exchange. And in Section 3, this act shall take effect upon becoming law, the public welfare requirement requiring it. Now, Section 3, nothing in this act shall be construed in any way to prohibit any person from purchasing insurance from a federal health care exchange or to invalidate any existing or future health insurance policies purchased from a federal health care exchange. I think that's what Senator Green was referring to in Senator Beaver's original bill that did not make a provision for that. So I think that probably takes care of that concern. And it was not just his concern. There were other people had that concern as well. So there's still going to be a federal health care exchange if they ever get the money to fund it, because remember, they were counting on the states funding it. And so, it is still, unfortunately, the law of the land. They're still going to have an agency operating here. This is just going to make sure that our state doesn't get involved with it. However, if somebody wanted to go through this health care exchange, they could still go through this health care exchange. So we'll see how that goes. Now, the other bill that Senator Beavers had, let's see where we are. Matter of fact, I've got to do a read here real quick. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear. Hold on. From patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and the phone number is 305-7176, and we've got a caller on the line here. Hello, sir. Do you have a comment or a question?
This is Colonel Riley. I was calling in. I was supposed to be a guest with Gary.
Well, actually, sir, I appreciate you calling in. My name's Dave Vance, and you're actually the guest on Inside Tennessee. And thank you for being with us. I wasn't sure if it was going to be you or Gary. I never got confirmation, but I'm glad you're with us.
Well, I was under the impression I was going to be working or speaking with Gary, but, I'm happy to talk with anyone who wants to listen.
Okay, well, the American Spring, that is your project, correct?
Correct.
Can you tell us a little bit
Operation
about yourself?
Operation American Spring. Well, actually, it's not about me. I just happen to be carrying the water for this team. What we're doing is a grassroots movement that people for the last 5 years have gotten sick of the Obama administration's fraud, abuse, corruption, betrayal, his deception, and in-your-face lies, basically. And we've concluded at this point, enough is enough. And what we're planning to do is we're calling for patriots all across America who love freedom, that would like to restore our constitutional government, rule of law, freedom, liberty, and get rid of this tyrannical leadership that we have up in Washington, D.C. What we're planning on doing is beginning on May the 16th, we got a while to work on this, to reach across the country and get all patriots of every stripe, every persuasion, black, white, yellow, brown, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberals, old, young, anybody who loves liberty and freedom and believe we're losing it. We're going to meet beginning May the 16th in Washington, D.C., and we hope to raise 10 million patriots. Basically, the idea popped into my mind about the way the Arab-Egyptian Spring, the way they functioned over there, not their government, not their army or anything else, but the principle of the people, the massing, huge. Millions and millions of people that just went to the streets and they stayed there until they got a resolution to their government issue. And we believe that's the only way that we can have an impact today. I'm sure every listener out there will know that they somehow or another, over the last 5 years of this Obama administration, and even before that, it was going downhill. We have called Congress. We have written letters to Congress. We've sent faxes to Congress. We've screamed at them in town halls. We've gone to D.C. and marched and demonstrated and petitioned and every other avenue that you can think of. We've tried to get the attention of this government up in Washington, D.C., and they totally ignore us. They just treat us as pests, just interfering with their self-serving agendas. And consequently, we have chaos up there. The debt is out of reach for anybody. Nobody can comprehend the amount of debt that these politicians have lumped on our great-great-grandchildren. It's lawless, basically. We're supposed to have three equal branches of government, and the Congress has abrogated their responsibility to pass laws and then ensure that they're carried out. What they've done is they've just said, we're not going to play. We're just going to sit back in the dark like mushrooms and be fed this BS that comes from Obama and let him have his way, do whatever he wants to do. Well, that's not the way our Constitution is supposed to work. They're ignoring the laws. They just pick and choose whichever law they want to enforce or make new laws or write an executive order. And basically, I think, Americans have said, we've had enough of this. And based on the responses that we're getting in just about a month since we kind of put this to paper, we've got every state on our website is working to some degree to put together plans, buses, carpools, whatever it's going to take to get to D.C. beginning on May the 16th. And we're going to be a little different than the other demonstrations that have been up there, because every demonstration is going to...
Before we get to that, I'm up against. I need to take a quick break. And when we come back, if you can kind of fill us in on, once we get to D.C., exactly what the plan is. But just hold with us real quick. Hey, you're listening to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we are talking to retired Colonel Harry Riley, and he is the founder of the American Spring Movement. And before the break, sir, we were talking about going to D.C. in May, and you said this is going to be a little different than some of the past trips to D.C. I'll let you elaborate from there.
Okay. I've been up to D.C. three, maybe four times. What those were events that we were trying to get a message to Congress about, you know, our positions, our grievances, and our demands. But they were one-day affairs. We'd go up there and, we'd get some stages and, have a show or do a little march down the street or something with signs. And while those were all well-meaning and we hoped that someone would take notice of it and pay attention to our messages, but they never did. This time we're going up there beginning on May the 16th, and we're planning on staying. It's not going to be a one-day deal. We're hoping to feel, like I mentioned, 10 million Americans, that basically what we'll do is just the sheer size of what we got will impact almost like the Cairo Egyptian spring over there, that it'll be so large it'll just shut Washington down, that we'll spread out all across the entire city with 10 million patriots. And we're going up there completely unarmed, peaceful, nonviolent. We're going up there as citizens. We're not asking for permission to come. We're not going to get permits. We can go anytime we want to Washington, D.C. We're gonna flock in there like a bunch of, eagles, if you will. And we're going to present our grievances and our demands. And we're hoping that after we have the gigantic 1 or 2 day issue, that we'll slow down. There'll be people that have to go home. They have to go back to work. But we hope to be able to put a plan together that's going to keep an even flow up there, or 50 or 100,000 all the time. For a week, a month, I don't know. But basically what we're calling for the retirement, the resignation, or removal in some fashion, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, Joe Boehner, Nancy Pelosi, and Attorney General Holder. We want them out of there because those people are basically the criminals right now. They are the deceivers and the betrayers of our Constitution. They're leading us into the abyss. Our nation is going down the tubes. If we don't do something, if this last-ditch effort here doesn't bring together millions and millions and millions of Americans, then these self-servers up there, these people that eat in the trough that we have to keep full because they keep putting more and more taxes on us, more and more debt on us, they're going to think, well, they're not interested, we'll just keep doing it, but what we're going to do is we're going to do it faster. And within the rest of this year, may even end before the election if we don't get up there. They are that vicious. They are that determined on turning us into a socialist, communist, third world country. And you know very well, you're a retired military man, that the blood, the lives, the body parts, the family destruction that has gone in to securing the fabric of our nation, it's just intolerable to us as to what's going on. And God help us if we don't, because I fear what the next step will be. And I would like to give our website. Website is Patriots for America. It's just spelled out, patriotsforamerica.ning, that's NING.com. And you can also find us on Patriots for America www.tennesseeandtheamerica.org.
Now, who else is involved in this with you? I'm sorry, who else is involved with you in this and promoting this?
Well, we've got any number of radio stations, tea parties, bikers, militias. It's spreading across the country. We've been at this for about just a little over a month. Patriot Nation, Mark Hoffman, we've been on his show. Mel Moss, Pete Santilli, Charles Butler, Rusty Humphrey, Eric Rush, J.J. McCartney, P.P. Simmons, Dr. Manning, and others. I think I've been on about 15 shows, and our PR, Texas Rose, has got me scheduled for 21 more up through May. And basically, it was something that just grew out of my frustration, and I said, you know, and just putting together a piece of paper, and it's going from there. So it's really a leaderless effort, if you will. The strength and power of the American people is what's pushing it up, and it's gaining traction. We've had well over 200 positive hits on Google, about 30 negative. It's just moving all over the place. So it's one of those things that has taken a life of its own, and we will have a delegation that will be able to present our demands and our grievances once we get to D.C., but we believe that this is an opportunity to shake the nation back into reality, to realize where we are, and to get these politicians in Washington, D.C. either out of there or some dramatic shift that we can be absolutely positively assured of. One other thing it's going to do, it's clearly going to shake all the politicians, every member of the United States Congress, because we're going up there with this message, and it's just a few months before the November election.
Right.
And we believe that this will just throw all of those that say one thing and do another. They might hit the road. They hit the unemployment lines.
Okay, well, I've got a couple callers on the line here, so if you got time, we're going to have a break here in about 2 minutes. But I'm going to take a call before the break, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
Caller, you have
go
a
right
question
ahead.
Or comment?
Hey, David, this is Jerry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to tune in with the colonel there and on what we're going to be doing in Nashville. I know Gary's going to be along directly. But I just thought I'd jump in a while and let the colonel know that we're planning an event in Nashville in the mid-April. And I know he's aware of it because he's been in contact
mm-hmm.
with both of us. And
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure we bring that up. And I want to thank the colonel for his help that he can give us with that and getting people into Nashville for us, because as we need to bring the federal government into line, we need to bring the state government into line, and it's just as important. I mean, these people are just running rampant, running all over the Constitution and totally ignoring our rule of law, and it's got to come to an end. And I just want
to
make a
comment.
We have to
have our state stand up for us. Our state has
absolutely.
To stand up for us.
They got to stand up for us. And I want to just make a comment to people that are thinking that, you know, it's impossible to win if it comes down to the bottom line. You know, a gentleman said today that he was willing to give it all and risk it all and to fight if it was necessary, and he was told by the radio host that that was foolish because you couldn't win. But I want to make a point out that our founding fathers, some of them were the richest people on the continent. They could have lived like kings off the peasants, but they chose to risk and lay everything on the line, and their lives included, to give the peasants the right to govern themselves. And I'd like to bring to mind that it was basically a bunch of farmers with long rifles and pitchforks that took on the greatest army in the world. And we know what the result was. They beat
them. Well, we're hoping that we can use the 10th so we don't have to use the 2nd. So hopefully we'll,
That's the game plan. I mean, that's the game plan. That's why the American Spring, and that's why our March on Nashville, to use the 10th Amendment and get our states to use the 10th Amendment. But that people understand that it may come down to that bottom line. And for me, I don't care what anybody thinks, but for me, it's liberty or death. There is nothing else. Either we win or we fight to the death. I will never surrender or yield. And I know that a lot of people that stand with me feel the same way. And I'm sure the Colonel understands that.
Well, I'll stand with you, that's for sure.
Well, you'll have a whole lot with you. Hey, anyway, we're up against a hard break here. I've got to take this break.
Okay.
But when we come back, sir, can you stay with us till after the break?
Sure.
Okay.
Be glad
Gary,
to.
All right, don't
right
go away.
Anyway.
You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. Don't go away. We'll be right back after a short break.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Look for President Obama to spend a fair amount of time in his State of the Union address making the case for using executive authority to advance his 2014 agenda. In his primetime speech tomorrow night, Obama will announce new executive actions on job training and retirement security. The aim will be to bypass a divided Congress that has for years blocked key White House policy initiatives. Currently, the White House is busy fending off complaints from critics who say that Obama should use his executive power to approve the Keystone XL oil pipeline.
As has been the practice for many years now of administrations of both parties, the reviews involved in an international pipeline like this are done or run by the State Department, and that process continues at the State Department.
Spokesman Jay Carney. In keeping with tradition, Obama will travel the country immediately after the speech to promote his agenda, with stops planned in Maryland, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Tennessee. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we are talking with Colonel Harry Riley. He is the founder of the American Spring Movement. And before the break, sir, we were talking about the event in Nashville. And then, of course, we Jerry Williams interjected, we're going to do something here in Tennessee. I do have another caller that had a question or a comment. I want to go to him real quick, and then we'll go back to that. Hank, you had a question or a comment?
Yeah, I just had a consideration. Suppose we were very successful and we had Obama and Biden and Boehner to step down. You have any idea who's next? It's Pat Leahy and John Kerry.
Well, the first thing we have to worry about is getting at least 10 million people up there to see what we can do. We've got a lot of praying to do yet to sort out exactly how we would replace them. Obviously, the Constitution has to be followed. but we have to make a start. And what we're doing is this will be just the beginning of a restoration of our Constitution. We obviously don't have this all together, but we know that we have to do something. We simply cannot wait any longer. We just heard the news there just a couple of minutes ago where Obama's going to stand up and tell us arrogantly, with his finger probably pointing right in his face, right in our faces, that he's going to bypass Congress and do what he wants to do with regard to this or that or the other thing that's on his mind. Well, that has to stop. Now, I don't know exactly how things are going to work out in Washington, D.C., but I'm not willing to sit on my behind any longer, and I haven't been for the last 5 years, but America cannot sit on their behinds any longer and with the attitude, let somebody else do it. We've seen
I'm with you, but you got to think it through.
We're working on that, but first things, we've got to mobilize. We can't get everything to order in 5 minutes or 2 weeks. We can't get 10 million people together in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. We got 3 months yet to be able to lock this, what we do and how we do it once we get to D.C. But the point we got to make is we don't have any more time to wait.
I just have to ask this. I mean, I don't believe there's – I think there's zero chance, even if we got 10 million people, that they would step down. I don't believe any of those people would resign. Now, I may be wrong, but I don't believe they'll resign. And if they don't resign, which technically speaking, I mean, we talk about the Constitution. They don't follow the Constitution up there at all. And I'm not trying to say not to do this because, if it'll help, that's great. But, what is the next step if they don't resign? Because I just don't see any of them stepping down.
The only thing we can do is we can stay there. We stay there. If we stay there long enough, we create confusion. We impact commerce. That's the seat of government. Supposed to be. It's supposed to be, a constitutional government. We have a fine government structure, but when you got it filled with criminals and betrayers and deceivers, self-servers are only interested in themselves, we've lost it. And if we think of the consequences of what has been paid for our nation and what the founders gave us, I don't see how we can sit by. Now,
We can't sit by. That's
some will
sure.
say,
no,
well,
no
you know, I don't think
it
work or might not. But you know what? No one's come up with a better plan. How are we going to do it? Everything we've tried has failed. They absolutely refuse to listen to us. So what do we do?
I will say this. What we do, whatever turnout we have in D.C., it is vitally important that at every state capital we have that turnout. And every state, we have to keep this going because I was talking earlier with the first guest. We have to start holding our state officials accountable. We can't let them play the game of, well, hey, that's the feds. There's nothing I can do about it. No, there is something you can do about it. Matter of fact, you took an oath to hold up both constitutions, the state and the federal. So if they are failing, it falls to you. Look no further than the mirror to figure out who is going to have to step up, because you want the 10th Amendment to work. Well, if we want the 10th Amendment to work, we have to put pressure on our state legislators and our governors. I'm going to go to Gary real quick. We got him online here, Gary Lima. You've been dealing with him here in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, Dave, and hello, Colonel. 5 years of my life as well. And this is what I want to add, not only the fact that I support what y'all are doing, but the bottom line for us, and I'm speaking for many veterans and frustrated civilians, people who have never served in the military in this state. I've heard it all from everywhere, when's someone going to act, when's someone going to do something. And I guess maybe because of the combat arms in me, I don't necessarily have a warm and fuzzy for whether the outcome comes right or not. If it has to be done, it has to be done. You don't worry about whether you're going to be there in the victory parade or not. It's got to be done. So, and what am I talking about here? You know, we got people that have gone from hope to frustration, frustration to fear, and now they've arrived at a point of anger. And that's all over wherever I go in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. We're not alone in this whole country. And Dave, that's why I appreciate you bringing up the 10th Amendment as well as the state legislatures, because that's a part of it. Yes, the 10th Amendment. It's also local government. And we are in the majority. We know the problem. We expected our leaders over the past 5 years to act, and they have not. They live in a realm of using, keeping power, using their offices for personal gain, something that I, as an enlisted man and as an officer, would never, ever do. The idea of personal gain, serving my country, was never, never part of my goals. But unfortunately for these people now, most of which have never put on a uniform, most of which their life is Obamacare, just pass it and then read it. You know, they want the office but don't want to know what's in the Constitution. They picked the wrong country to do this in. The Treasury belongs to us, and the wealth they use belongs to us. The power they have belongs to us. What we need to do is take all three from them and find those willing to return the legitimacy and the authority we give them and not what they give us. And that's how I see the American Spring. It's all about taking back what they've hijacked, which is the fruits of the American Revolution. And, you know, when you're growing up as a kid, you really learn American history. It's a little perplexing, especially for a military person, when you're committed to supporting the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Domestic used to bother me because who the heck wants to not support it? Well, Benjamin Franklin.
Thought, huh?
That's it. Benjamin Franklin said, when they ask what you have wrought us, he said, a republic, if you can keep it.
Yeah.
And that's the key, keeping it. That is something we have to do. I've got to jump in here real quick. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and Hangar Flying Radio on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we are talking with Colonel Harry Riley and Gary Lima in reference to the American Spring Project. Back to you, Colonel Riley.
Okay, I can, you know, what you all are doing in Tennessee, the events down there, is vitally critical to both, you know, our states and also getting the word out to what we're trying to do up in D.C. in May. You know, the issue of the federal have been intimidating, really intimidating, the states for the last 5 years. The one of the best cases is Arizona, where Arizona, because of all the illegal aliens coming in, the murders going on out there, they tried to take measures in their own hands to protect their citizens. What's the feds do? They sue them. Take them to the Supreme Court, you know, and the Supreme Court says, states, you can't take care and protect your own people. And they did the same thing in Alabama, and they did it over in the Carolinas when they wanted to, tighten up the ballot boxes. So, you know, this federal thing up in D.C. is totally out of control. They're intimidating the states. But I'll tell you, I'm happy and I'm proud of my state here in Florida today because they just introduced a bill that would nullify all federal gun laws. It's a law that basically would say that there will be no element of the Florida government that would be able to that would cooperate with any federal regulation law with regard to gun laws. So Florida is stepping up and telling the federal government, stay out of our life. you're not going to be welcome here. If you pass federal gun laws, then you're going to have to come down here and enforce them because we're not.
Great, great. We need more. And I know that we have something similar to that going in Tennessee. Matter of fact, we passed one a few years ago, but we need a little more teeth in it. So we'll see how that goes. Got another caller on the line here. We'll take this call, and then we're going to have to take a break here in just a second. Caller, you have a comment or a question?
Oh, yes. I'm from Missouri, and I've been following the Operation Spring for Washington, D.C. for about a month now. And these guys are right. I mean, there's much more to it than the White House or the Congress or the departments in D.C. The corruption runs so deep into all of those places, it's going to take a major overhaul of reform to back on the right path. You know, the founding fathers had quite an insight or foresight for how governments become corrupt because they lived under it. They saw and knew exactly what the problem was. And it was when power begets money, money begets greed, and greed makes corruption. And that's exactly what has happened to us over the last 60 years or so.
Yep, we've got plenty of that, plenty of that. Thank you, caller. All right,
if we're almost, maybe we've even surpassed all the grievances that our founding fathers listed in the Declaration of Independence. I mean, some of the things that just happened, you know, recently is just outrageous.
Yep, I agreed 100%. Got time for one more call, then we got to take a break.
Yes, Colonel, how are you?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm a little short tonight since I'm very hungry. I've missed my dinner. I do apologize. But if you have a few questions, a few of us have been working with you on this movement. Once we do get 1 million to 10 million people on the mall here camped out and waiting for our grievances to be heard, what is the next step? Are we going to wait for congressmen and senators to meet us, join us on the mall, so we can voice our grievances, or are we going to actually stay there until Congress, you know, votes out the session, gets a vote of no confidence, and then we have a new slate? What's the mode? What's the operation that we're going to do?
Yeah, another caller kind of approached the same question. We just don't know at this point exactly how that is going to work out up there. Exactly how we're going to get the message, how strong we're going to be able to make it, who we're going to make it to yet. We've got some things we've got to work out. But we know if we do not get a population up there of millions and millions of patriots with signs and showing without any doubt that we've had all we can take, that we're not taking this anymore, that it's got to be fixed. And the only way you can do that, you can start that, is you've got to start moving people out. We can't take their promises. Their promises are absolutely worthless. I mean, if you think Obama's going to come out there and say, well, you know, we understand now. We think we understand what you're going to do. You guys we'll do it.
I
won't work. Got to stay up there until they're gone.
Hey, I'm up against a break here. I need to take a break. And I've got another guest coming up, but I can keep you on and as long as you can stay until he shows up. So if you could just stay with me till after the break, we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number is 718-305-7176. And we've been talking to Colonel Harry Riley and Gary Lima about the American Spring Project. And, sir, we're just about out of time here, but want to give you an opportunity before we go. First off, I'd like to thank you for coming on. I'd like to have you back. If you have any parting words for the audience.
Just in short, We've had it with the politicians who are basically hell-bent on destroying our nation. All efforts to gain their attention has failed, not because they haven't heard it. They've been advised, but the fact is they're cowards, incompetent. They regard us as pests. They ignore the people they're sworn to serve, all in favor of their own personal greedy agendas. And the only way we can change it is we have to go up there and confront them. And I hope that we can get some support at our websites, patriotsforamerica.org or operationamericanspring.org or even operationamericanspring.ning.com. We're moving out, and we're just trusting the Lord that we're going to be successful in this operation. We have no choice.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for your service, and we'll be talking to you again. Thanks for coming on. God bless you.
God bless you, Dave. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Gary, anything real quick, 15 seconds or less?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm nowhere near as eloquent as Colonel is. The bottom line in our state, that's how veterans and people who never wore uniform feel. That is the vast majority view. And our state legislators need to understand that, you know, we are coming. And we literally demand that they that they commit themselves to a opportunity to perform at the highest level of integrity and duty, you know, prescribed by law, and that they work with a strong conviction of their oaths that we require of them. And to also remember this, at any level, and I guess at the national level, that's probably where it might be the most dangerous. If you commit a crime or you commit misconduct, misbehave in a high place, that's called crimes in high place and misconduct. They're supposed to be the lofty level. And if they want our respect, that's what they've got to be. I agree with the Colonel, though. A whole lot of them need to go.
Thank you, Gary. Wow. I appreciate you being with us, and we'll definitely have you back on in the next few weeks, and I'll be talking to you later.
Thank you, Dave.
Hey, take care.
Yes, sir.
All right. Speaking of somebody who takes their oath of office serious, our next guest is Representative Judd Matheny. How are you doing tonight, Judd?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Doing I appreciate you being with us.
Sure thing.
So I don't know how much you heard of the conversation. We had Senator Green on a little earlier, and then we were just talking to Colonel Riley and Gary Lima about American Spring. And, of course, we touched base on the 10th Amendment, which is a big issue, something that's going to have to be enforced if we're ever going to get our country straightened out.
Yes, sir.
Can you give us a little sense of what's going on up in Nashville this session? Kind of a sense of the session of how things are going up there.
Yeah, it's fast and furious. Big issues are Common Core, of course, the big education issue, school vouchers, wine and grocery stores, and prescription pseudoephedrine in an attempt to fight the scourge of meth, and passing a budget that has a little bit of a deficit, but nothing we can't overcome with the strong cash reserves we already have, and probably getting out sometime in early April. And we're in full swing right now.
I got to ask you something. I mean, the wine and groceries, I mean, I don't personally care where somebody buys their alcohol at. I don't care if they buy it at a liquor store, if they buy it at a grocery store. I guess that makes me a bad Baptist, but I really don't care where they're going to buy it at. That's their choice. But why, with everything we got going on, how is that even taking up the amount of time it's taken up? I mean, we got so many more important things that we should be dealing with. Why is it even up there?
Well, you know, I think you and I know the answer, but we're gonna play anyway and say that it's much easier to take care of issues that are of that are less frightening and less obvious, and deal with those that are more pleasant to deal with, even though they do have their challenges surrounding them. But we definitely have our head in the sand about where we are truly headed and where our parent company, the United States, is headed. And Tennessee is not. Now, you will not hear me be critical of Tennessee's financial state. We are a financial model that the rest of the country needs to follow. What you will hear me be critical of, Dave, is the fact that Tennessee's leadership is not taking the strength of that financial model and the principles that led to that financial model and helping other states replicate those on the national stage. And that is where you'll hear my criticism.
Yeah. Well, now, I've heard overall that, you know, our the budget in Tennessee is, you know, our balance sheets are better than a lot of states. But even you will, I know you'll admit this, and I know you've been involved with it. You know, you dealt with it on the Joint Legislative Committee, the issue of the refugees, which so with that situation, we really don't know what we're spending. I mean, so we can't get a completely clear picture with that.
Well, not yet, and there is a renewed push to revisit that, the fiscal review report, and find out just exactly what the federal government would not answer. If those that have followed this know that the numbers that that the state of Tennessee's Fiscal Review Committee came up with for the cost shifting of refugee resettlement were really only state numbers, and they really weren't cost shifting numbers because we're not shifting cost around within the state. The federal government actually failed to reply to questions, numerous questions from the state for data, and therefore an incomplete report was submitted. And, of course, we want a complete report so we can look at it fairly from all angles, and we are attempting, again, to get the federal government to cooperate.
If the federal government doesn't cooperate, is there anything that could be done? Is there any kind of legislation that, I mean, could you put the program on hold? You know, hey, you know, this is a federal program, it's voluntary, and so until we get the information from the feds that we need, we're not going to allow this program to continue. Is there any way that could be done?
Yes, anything's possible. Once we've done not all the due diligence that can be done, but enough that is prudent, then I think we can start making some claims like that if they're warranted, Dave. And I think once we are either successful or exhaust our attempts on the federal portion of the cost shifting report, I think we'll be at that point.
Okay.
We can do that.
Well, I know that whole refugee program, that thing's a nightmare for us. And speaking of nightmares, one of the worst nightmares that can fall on American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. We'd be very glad that you did. You're listening to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. We have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Representative Judd Matheny. Common Core, that's one of the big issues this year. And what's your take on Common Core? Where do you stand on it, and where do you see it going?
Well, I'm opposed to it, I'm opposed to it because of the due diligence that I put into it. And my biggest concern is getting into bed deeper with the federal government in any way, especially with regards to our curriculum, which all our students will learn, and hope that we'll have any kind of success in the future. Any time a bankrupt entity tries to entice you into doing something, you probably should have second thoughts about it, and that's exactly where I am on Common Core. I believe that if Tennessee and Tennesseans believe that the impulse behind Common Core, the reasoning behind Common Core, is truly important, that we can pass enough standards in Tennessee to make sure that we do not harm Common Core in any way. But we don't have to be a part of it. We can have our own pride of authorship in our education system. People may say I'm crazy today, but Dave, we may see the federal government try to make teachers federal employees 20 years from now. This is the first step. So I think let's keep our sovereignty. There's nothing wrong with doing that. That's where strength comes from.
If it's okay for every student to meet a national standard, wouldn't you want all your teachers to meet a national standard? So I don't think you're too far off the mark there.
Well, and also, there are things that we need in our textbooks in Tennessee that kids may not need in New York or Northern California. And we need the ability to be able to make sure that we're teaching the correct history and social lessons and everything else to kids that are growing up within our socioeconomic framework in our part of the country. And we don't need to give that up. And we don't need somebody to rewrite our history for us and just concentrate on present day. We need to make sure that what our children learn as well within the context of history. And we also need to protect data that is taken on our students, and the curriculum that our students take needs to be fully accessible to parents. So all these things around Common Core I have concerns with, and I think many of my colleagues are beginning to get these concerns. Now, I will say that the educational system, some of the school systems, some of the publishers, et cetera, are starting to try to cater to some of these concerns, but it's nowhere near enough. We're going to just have to try to shoot Common Core down. And I'm hoping for an up or down vote in the legislature this year. It was actually, it's important for your listeners to know, it was actually implemented by an administrative action. And the legislature did not put Common Core in place, but the legislature can stop it. And we have
to stop it this
session if we intend to. And I think we need to, and then just come up with something that, that fits with the rest of the federal Common Core, but keeps us here in Tennessee sovereign.
Yeah, well, now, I know I don't want to spend all the time on Common Core, but I think I'm leery of – I'm not saying that there's – that there are no good standards, but it's like you said, anything involving the federal government, I'm leery of. So I think we could write all the standards that we need for ourselves. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about ammunition. I know when we had John in the past, and you mentioned something about ammunition and making Tennessee a place
vertical.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'd like to do, Dave, is make sure, and this comes from a career in law enforcement, a career in the military, an active combat pistol shooter, and now I'm a officer in the State Guard building a new unit here in Tennessee, and where I see weaknesses, and that is in the availability of ammunition in the future. And my job is to plan for the future, and when I see lead mines closing around the country, when I see importations of ammunition being held up by the federal government, when I see ammunition primer manufacturers closing down due to EPA regulations, and all I see remaining in Tennessee is a more or less a cottage industry of ammunition manufacturers, then it greatly concerns me. How are we ever going to fill the needs, the legitimate needs of our sportsmen, our competitive shooters, and God forbid if we ever have a crisis, how are we going to be able to arm a nation? And what I would like to do is engage the state of Tennessee, and we're working hard on this now with state economic community development folks, but engage the Tennessee with as much vigor in attracting the ammunition manufacturing industries or component industries to Tennessee as we would with any other major initiative such as solar panels or automobiles or something of that nature. We want it here. We want powder manufacturers here. We want to be able to come to some agreement with the EPA so we can once again work with some lead here. We want primer manufacturers here, brass manufacturers here, and therefore the major manufacturers. And we not only want to guarantee the Tennesseans have a right to the ammunition, but we want to make sure we can provide a nation too.
Well, that's great. And, how's that looking?
These are things. Well, it's beginning to get some interest. This is what Americans do to protect their country when they see a weakness. And I'm not just doing this as a Tennessean. This will benefit Tennessee first and foremost, but it's also to protect my country. We're losing our capacity to manufacture ammunition for our citizens at an alarming rate. And Tennessee has the capability to step up and solve that problem and create a heck of a lot of jobs in the process. And there are some folks listening to me, so I'm proud to say that. But it is going to be an uphill battle with a lot of the establishment folks we have, Dave. But I won't give up.
Well, good. I know you won't. You stuck with. You catch a lot of flack, but you don't quit. And of course, when you catch flack, that means you're over the target. I hope that thing comes to fruition. We definitely need that. You know, put a little something behind our 10th Amendment.
Sure.
And on the subject of the 10th Amendment, let's talk a little bit about Obamacare. Senator Beavers and Representative Foti have a bill that would pretty much gut Obamacare in Tennessee. And what are your thoughts on it, and what are your thoughts on the chances of its success?
The chances of that particular bill in that particular form passing is probably slim, but I think the chances of some type of bill that the General Assembly finally agrees, and I'm talking about the conservative portion of the General Assembly, definitely the Republicans and even the more conservative wing of the Republicans, can come up with something that is actually effective, that has a better than average chance of being defended in court. And it could be a hybrid plan. It could be Senator Beavers. It could be one that I'm carrying with Mark Green. It could be one that Representative Jeremy Durham has, or it could be a portion of all three of them, that we put in as many stop gaps as possible to protect our ability to repeal Obamacare. And so I don't know if one bill is going to do it all, and that would be great if it would, but I think we're going to get together and try to come up with a hybrid solution and come up with a great bill that's going to be hard to defeat in court, and it will be similar to what some other states, I think, the machinations they've already been through. We're going to learn those pretty quick.
What bill are you working on Senator Green with? I had him on earlier, and if he mentioned it, I didn't get it.
Yeah, it's one we're just hatching, and just has to do with insurance rates, and it just pairs down, it just hems in Obamacare even tighter. And be glad to send you a copy of it. It's one of several that coming under the attack of that are attacking Obamacare.
Okay. Well, for now, we're still a free country. Matter of fact, America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Pulaski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opolowski, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. We're talking with Representative Judd Matheny. And Representative Matheny, I know you have to go here fairly quick. Give you a few minutes here. Anything you would like to get the word out on? Anything special you're working on?
Well, in Tennessee, it's going to be I don't think it's going to be a real explosive legislative year. Once again, we talked about wine and grocery stores, school vouchers. We've got the methamphetamine, the pseudoephedrine prescription drug issue, which I'm going to probably be heavily involved in. And
let me ask you on that one real quick. I know you're ex-law enforcement. What's your take on that one?
Well, 3 years ago, I was against it. I was against a prescription, and it was strictly on the philosophical rules of, let's hit the bad guy, not the good guy so hard. And
right.
Plus, we have 8 border states, and if some of our border states are not participating with us, it doesn't do any good for us to have a ban when everybody's 45 minutes away from a border state that doesn't have a prescription only. And so the Smurfers will still figure out a way around it. Well, since that time, I've learned a lot. I didn't know at that time that ephedrine, pseudoephedrine used to be prescription, and then they were opened up to OTC. And so that sort of taught me a little bit about the old guard that used to make meth back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s off recipes off of World War II. And, Nazi Germany ran on meth, by the way, during Blitzkrieg.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh,
and,
wow.
Absolutely. But anyway, then I find out that we get several border states that are requiring prescriptions. Of course, getting a lot of pressure from law enforcement at home. And about 10-1, people in favor of, reluctantly in favor of a prescription over not. And then the governor's plan comes out, which is sort of a hybrid plan, which allows you to go to buy 20 days of the maximum dosage every month straight from your pharmacist, and then anything over that requires a prescription. But the prescription can be phoned in or faxed in immediately by a doctor's office right there from the pharmacy. So I think the plan the governor has is doesn't go as far as just a pure prescription only, still leaves a lot of discretion up to the individual, to the pharmacist, and to the doctor, and I think it's a logical next step in how meth is dealt with in Tennessee, and I'd like to see it get some support, to be honest.
Okay. What about guns and trunks? Where are we going with that, in your opinion?
Well, I am hoping that we're going to be able to, you're talking about guns in parking lots, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Safe commute bill.
I think we'll be able to hopefully get in law once and forever that where nobody has an opinion otherwise that you can't be fired for your constitutional right. But I'm actually carrying a bill that says that the state will occupy the entire field of all firearms regulations and rules. And if we can get that passed, then I think an end to all that nonsense having to do with the parking lots and the parks and, you know, 10 feet from here and 20 feet from there. And just as long as we can maintain a conservative legislature, which I think Tennessee will for a long, long time, that we can make sure that every Tennessean has plenty of access to be able to defend themselves in all areas, not just if they live in a town that's particularly liberal, that they can't take it to the parks or, you know, they run into some other kinds of problems.
Right. Okay. Well, I know you've got some other things to do tonight. You've had a long day. And unless you have something else that you would like to say real quick.
Yeah, I'm honest with you. I'm tired. We've had a long, long day. And I always enjoy being on the show. And appreciate the listeners and appreciate all the support I get from you and from your colleagues in West Tennessee, Dave. It helps me lick a lot of wounds, so I appreciate your friendship.
Well, hey, I appreciate you and appreciate all you do. And we'll be recognizing you and Senator Beavers and somebody else we'll talk about a little later on the 27th of February.
Yeah, later next month. Amen, sir.
Yeah, the Sheriff of Mac event, that ought to be a good one. So thanks again and take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks, sir. Bye-bye.
Right. Don't go away. We'll be right back after a short break.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Thank you for listening tonight. We've had some good guests. We've got a few minutes left here, so if you want to call in with a question or a comment, feel free to. A couple of things I want to remind you about. Once again, earlier in the evening, I played a clip from an ad, a radio ad, that Karen Bracken from Tennesseans Against Common Core is trying to get enough money to have it played on the on 101.3 during the Glenn Beck show and 99.7 during the Michael DelGiorno show. And, of course, she's got to have enough money to do this, and this is not cheap. It's $130 per spot on DelGiorno, and it's $18 per spot on the 101.3. Excuse me. And so if you're interested in making a contribution, send your check to William Bracken at 231 Bob White Drive, Ocoee, Tennessee, 37361. And the website is Tennesseans Against Common Core. So that's one thing you can do to find out what's going on. Karen sends out regular updates of what's going on. I was glad to hear from Representative Matheny tonight that I think a lot of the legislators are having second thoughts about Common Core. And he pointed out that, you know, it was done administratively, so the House or the General Assembly can undo this mess. And if we put enough pressure on them, hopefully that's what will happen. So get yourself educated, know the facts on it, know what it does, what it doesn't do. You got to be careful. There's a lot of rumors out there about things, but there's enough bad. You don't have to make up anything on Common Core. All right, you don't have to exaggerate, fabricate, just tell the truth. And it's not even a proven – that's another thing. I don't know why we always go with, okay, let's do something different without first proving that that something different works. And these things cost money. We didn't even touch about the cost of these things and the cost of your county down the line, because you know it's going to involve computers eventually. I mean, everything's going to a computer, whether we do Common Core or not. But, you know, I'm sure there'll be special programs for Common Core, and that'll cost money. So – get yourself educated on it. Textbook issues, that's another problem we have in Tennessee, as we do everywhere else. You know what's in the textbooks. Matter of fact, the Tennessee Textbook Advocates, you know, they have their website as well, TennesseeTextbookAdvocates.com, I believe is the website. And you can go there and you can read the reviews of the different textbooks. And great group of people. Matter of fact, one of them has agreed to come to my county, whenever my county school board finally appoints the teachers that are going to review the textbooks for our county this spring, she's going to come and teach, show our teachers what to look for. Because you got to remember, one of the problems with the textbook commission here in Tennessee is they had teachers on it that they had no clue when they saw something that was wrong, historically wrong, or obviously biased against America, or biased against Christianity, or pro-Islamic. They were reading these things, and all they were looking to see is, does it match up with the state standard? If it matched up with the state standard, and of course the standards were, you know, they're kind of vague. Oh, okay, yeah, talks about this. All right, good to go. They didn't catch on. These are teachers. These are the people that are teaching their kids. And they didn't catch just some blatant falsehoods, some blatant anti-American, anti-Christian, pro-Islamist bias in our textbooks. And so this group did a really, really good job of laying out the facts on these textbooks. Several of these members testified before state senate committees on these textbooks. And there is some legislation that's being proposed. I don't have any of it with me right now. We will have them back in the not too distant future, and we'll go over some of that. But if you live in Tennessee and you're concerned, you want to know what's going on at the state legislature, just go to Tennessee.gov. And under government, you'll find legislation or legislators. You can look up your individual legislator, then you can look under their sponsored bills. Or if you happen to know a bill number, you go under legislation and you just type in the bill number, whether it's Senate bill or House bill, and you can read about the bill. You can see where it's at. Has it gone to the subcommittee yet? Has it gone to the full committee? Where it's at in the process? Who the committee members are? Because that's another thing you need to know, because it's important to call your rep and your state senator. But all these bills go through different paths. And so it's important to know the committee route, which if you look on there, it'll tell you where it's going. Okay, if it gets to this subcommittee, it goes to the full committee. And then maybe it goes to another subcommittee. It depends. They did away with a lot of subcommittees last year, which is good in a lot of cases. But remember, bills live or die in committee. Generally speaking, if it makes it to the floor, they are 95% sure it's going to get passed, because they don't want to stick a bill out there that they're going to get slammed on. So bills live or die in the committee. You can see the schedule. Matter of fact, you can sign up to have them send you emails of when X bills are going to be in subcommittee, going to be in a committee, when they're going to go to the floor, so you can keep updated with what's going on. So you really need to look at that. Like I say, read the amendments, look at the co-sponsors. You know, read the bills and see what your guy is sponsoring. And like I say, you know, talking with Representative Matheny, and I brought up the issue of wine in grocery stores, which is such a trivial thing right now. I don't personally care, but it's trivial. With everything we have going on right now, why we're even wasting all that time on that bill? And it's like you said, because they don't want to deal, especially in an election year, with the heavy topics. A lot of them don't. We do have some good ones out there. And, of course, Representative Matheny is one of the best. The guy takes a lot of flack, you know, and he just keeps coming. And that's what we need. We need more Judd Matheny's. We need more May Beavers. And there's some others out there. You know, they're not the only good ones, but I'm going to tell you what, you would be hard-pressed to find a better rep or a better senator than those two. And that's one of the reasons that we're going to recognize them, and also we're going to recognize Andy Miller. If you live in Tennessee, you probably know that name. If you're a conservative, you know that name. And we're going to recognize them on the 27th of February at Grant Hall at Union University in Jackson, Tennessee, 27th of February. We have Sheriff Mack from Arizona, who is the founder of the Constitutional Sheriffs Association. He is the guy who took a case all the way to the Supreme Court. Essentially, they were trying to force him as a county sheriff, which is the highest constitutional authority in any county in this country, trying to force him to enforce federal firearms laws. He refused, made his case all the way to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court backed him. And after that, that's when he founded the Constitutional Sheriffs Association. And he's written a couple books. And so we're going to have an event there. Matter of fact, we're going to try to have law enforcement, have a time period for law enforcement to come in and meet with Sheriff Mack. And we're going to have John Harris from the Tennessee Firearms Association. Tennessee Firearms Association, the bills that we have in regards to firearm rights at the state level in Tennessee, it came from the Tennessee Firearms Association, okay? I mean, they were written by John Harris at some point in time, right? And I've never got to hear John Harris speak. I've met him, but I've heard he's an excellent speaker, and he's going to be speaking as well. We're going to have Representative Joe Carr, who is running for Senate against Lamar Alexander, one of the worst senators in our country. Tennessee is both blessed and cursed at the same time. We have some of the best people. We have some of the most dedicated conservative activists of any state. I'll stack our conservative activists in this state up against anybody, against any other state. And we have some stellar people in our legislature. They're a minority. But I'm going to tell you what, we have the biggest herd of rhinos that any state has ever seen, starting with our governor and then our two senators. And there's really no rep out there, with the possible exception of Scott Desjarlais, that, in my opinion, has really stood up for us up there. They talk a good game, but they're not living up to it. They talk it, but they don't walk it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week. And just stick in there. Do what you can. God bless you. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.